That's not it. I swear, Ted, I'm going to do it right this time.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix.
Are you?
Are now entering.
What's the matter?
I don't hear nothing.
You don't hear anything?
No.
What? I hear it just fine. You don't hear that?
Are you messing with me? Oh, no, I can't hear it. That's why you're like, I'm going to do it fine this time. Like, are you?
That's a weird one. Is it maybe I put that in an audition? Maybe that's what it was. For all I know, maybe we weren't even recording. Here, let's try that now.
Yeah, I can hear it.
All right, you heard it? You heard?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering the MegaCast.
We're back and better than ever, Ted.
Oh, well-oiled machine.
Boom. That's right. You're welcome, Mega Family. We are back.
How about 2020? That might have been the most awkward thing we've had in a while.
I guess I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, are you effing with me?
Right. Then I said, are you effing with me?
Yeah, I don't know. Certain buttons weren't pushed. But you know what? It wouldn't be the MegaCast without a little failure.
Yeah. I screwed up the intro to the podcast last night.
Oh, did you?
Oh, 100%.
Was that the first one back for 2020?
Yep.
There you go.
Actually, it was a good cast.
Yeah.
I just fumbled through the beginning.
Dude, I felt the same way on the Migs cast, too. It was just like getting back in that rhythm. And it was like, I don't know about you, but at first I'm like, man, it's been nice being able to go home earlier than usual. Part of me was just like, I don't feel like doing it anymore. Like, because you just get away from it. And it's not like I didn't like doing it. But then once I did it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is why I like doing this.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. And sometimes, honestly, man, I don't care what the job is. And we like our jobs. We have cool jobs. So by the end of the year, you're just tired.
Just burnt out.
Yeah.
And also, and on top of it, and I talked a little bit in detail about it on the MigsCast. I'm sure we'll talk about it here. Just get used to me talking about baby stuff. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
But leading up to having that baby, I was mad. And I remember I talked to you for a minute because I had to cancel a MegaCast, one or two of them, because I was just going through some massive panic attacks. And like my mind was just not right. Like it was a struggle just to try and be entertaining on the radio. I couldn't even imagine to continue that after. It was like exhausting. My body was just beat and my mind was just a mess. I was just, you know, between the pressure of, oh my gosh, I'm having a kid, to what's going on with my body. Like I was having panic attacks and am I having a heart attack? Am I going to die before this kid even gets into the world? And then I go to the doctor and I have like it's called a lipoma on my wrist. And I get those because I get like cysts, lipomas, my whole family does. It's just like bumps from time to time. I get them removed when they get too big. But then I had one on my forearm where the doctor was like, oh, that one kind of concerns me. You should get that one removed and checked out. I'm like, great. Do I have now cancer? Because that's how my dad found out he had prostate cancer, even though it had nothing to do with one with the other.
Right, but that's how he found out.
Yeah, so I'm like, now I'm about to die from a heart attack. I think I got cancer. I have a kid on the way. My whole world is crumbling, but being awesome. I was a complete mess.
Yeah, and
and everything's good.
Yeah. Everything's right. But people, it's very hard. Right. People won't understand. It's not like, right. Like you can't just start the morning on BJ and Migs and be like, oh, I'm a sourpuss. This is what, you know what I mean?
I don't feel like talking.
Right.
Right.
Like you have to talk.
Right.
Right. So it's like sometimes I don't think people understand. That's a weird pressure. And it's hard. Like it's hard.
It's super hard. And I hate being that guy because I know I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel like my issues are not on the same level as other people's issues. And I can't sit I'm like, man, there are people that hate their jobs and are battling X, Y, and Z. But everyone's problem is everybody's problem. And you know, everybody's having a hard go no matter what it is. And then, you know, you hear from people like, you know, like, well, why can't you just not go to work? And I'm like, I know I have to go to work. And it's like, I'm sure, like, if I told my boss I'm having panic attacks and a mental breakdown, I'm positive he'd be like, yo, take some time off. But it was just like, I couldn't. Like, I physically could, I needed to go to work, but I also shouldn't have, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's just a tough time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, holidays, too. Everything.
Right? You're usually pretty cool. There was a couple times. I think I even said something like, you'll be fine, man. Like,
I know. Right?
I think I had to say something like, I'm sure every dad goes through this.
Yeah. Like, I think there's one more where I'm having like almost a breakdown right by the mailroom. And I'm like, and then this is happening. Ted, I think I'm dying. And blah, blah. And Ted's just like, this is not like you, but I think you're going to be okay.
Well, I had a friend, right? I will say this, like we could talk, we'll probably talk too much about kids on this cast coming up, but
kid
like
talk
between you, Taryn, and then my other two friends, like I'm very plugged into kid culture right now.
Right.
It's like my one friend, she had a tough time after the kid. Right. And she's just like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, I wasn't trying to be mean or anything, but I at one point I just said, hey, you're a new mom. Like, yep. No offense, but like a lot of people have been like, you're going to make it through this. Yeah. I know it seems like it's very tough and individual, right? Like, you're going to make it through.
Well, it was like, you know, honestly, who kept popping into my mind of all people, not like, not that he's a bad dad or anything, just I never would have thought that myself and Thrill, a conversation with him, like, would be like a moment that I keep in the back of my mind. Cause he's like, yeah. Look, I know you're freaking out. And I didn't even say I was freaking out, but I was just like, it was
a freaking out, man.
I'm going nuts, Thrill. But it was that Thursday before the baby was born on Friday the 13th, so Thursday the 12th. And I'm leaving work and I'm like, all right, well, we're going to take tomorrow off because we were going to induce the baby. So I wanted a fresh night's sleep. Ended up that my wife's water broke on Thursday night,
right.
Which was great. But he's just like, I know you're probably freaking out. You'll figure everything out. It's a lot easier than you think it is. Once the baby comes out, you will figure it all out. And I honestly did not understand that, but I was like, oh, thanks, appreciate it. More advice, that, whatever.
Yeah, thanks, appreciate
it. Right, okay, thanks. Get in line. But once that baby popped out, he couldn't write. And it was just like, oh, I get what Thrill is saying. Like, once that baby's alive, you're like, okay, we got this. Now, granted, I've spent the last 3 weeks just staring at this child every couple of minutes and going, you breathing? All right, cool. That's basically my relationship with this child right now.
Yeah. Well, you do look more relaxed than I've seen you in months.
Feel better.
Which is weird because your baby's like, what, not even a month old.
3 weeks, three and some change. Coming up on 4 weeks this Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my wife's in the greatest spirits. Like, I never really, we talked a little bit about it on the Megacast, probably more on the Megacast and the Migscast than I know for sure than I did on the air.
Yeah.
Like the IVF process, the IUIs, and nothing really working. And it was just, it was a massive struggle for 6 years. And it progressively got worse because then my wife started getting depressed. And it was harder for me to try and hide what I was going through because I didn't want to bring her even more down. So like there was this, and you know, we had a lot of talks and then finally I had to break down to her and be like, I'm not having a good go right now. And she's like, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, well, I wanted us to be able to keep positive throughout this negativity that was this baby's not coming. And then when it did come, it was just like, whew, holy crap. And so like I shared stuff on my Twitter. I wrote like a whole little thing, which I actually put that in my drafts. I'm never like that guy. I'm like, let me sit on this one. Because it was like 8 IUIs, 2 IVFs, 6 years of trying, almost gave up hope. Like, and it was like a very heartfelt thing. And I'm like, I'm not that guy. I'm not the oversharer on social media. But I thought about, there was a couple people, two in mind, that really pop into my mind that helped me unknowingly. One was Casey from Q13.
All right.
She shared her whole story, and it was IVFs and all this. And
like,
the struggles of getting pregnant. And I remember reading that at a very low point, and it was like, you don't feel alone. It's not helping. And it was funny because I would show it to my wife, and my wife was the other way around. She's like, well, that's great. They're having a kid. And I'm like, okay, this is not working for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but that's the tough thing, right? It's like I brought up before, and like, you don't want to talk about like miscarriages and stuff, but like when it comes to this childbirth, there's just stuff people don't talk about.
Right.
So then every couple, it seems like it's just
you internalize it.
Right. And it's just you guys going through it.
And then there was a wrestler from the Bay Area, goes by, I'm trying to remember his wrestling name. His name Seth Matthews. Yes. Okay. Because he goes, I know him by his real name.
I know. It's just funny. It's like such a serious conversation. You're like, what is his wrestling name?
Yeah, it's like probably how sex workers are when they're talking about their friends. I mean, she goes by Crystal on the main stage. Gladys. It's Gladys. That's who I'm talking about. But I read something he posted about several.
By the way, that would be a weird name for a stripper. Gladys?
No, her stage name is Crystal. Her real name is Gladys.
I'm just still trying to picture any stripper I meet, and she's like, all right, my actual name is Gladys. Like, what? I'm sorry.
You're
like Gladys,
73 years old.
Right, it's Gladys Knight.
Well, what if her dancer friends are the Pips? I don't know, Ted. Well, he wrote something heartfelt, and it connected with me, and it was cool when like we finally announced that we were having a kid. He reached out to me, because I reached out to him the direct message one, and said, hey, man, I know we don't really know each other all that well. Like, we just know each other from, like, 3-2-1 Battle and other wrestling stuff, but, like, what you shared was, like, it really hit home, and it helped me throughout all this. So that's why I finally was like, you know what, screw it. I'm hitting send, because I know that there are people out there that are internalizing their struggles just as much as we did, and hopefully my story can help. I hate to be that guy. My story hopefully can help somebody, but I really do hope
the truth.
I hope that somebody out there who's battling this, and I've gotten many messages.
I was gonna say, and I want to say there was some of the replies where people were like, me and my wife are struggling.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they said, I really appreciate you writing this. It makes me feel less alone. I think that's the problem, is that a lot of times when we internalize things, you just assume you're the only one battling it, but it's like, there's not a He's not a fertility doctor for a reason. We're not the only one that needs that doctor.
Right.
Although the way they charge us, they treat us like as if they're the only one. We're the only ones that they're able to make money off of because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So here's a little more behind the curtain. So Steve and I often, when we do this, we'll sit here and chit chat for a while before we do it.
Yeah.
He can attest to sometimes he would tell me some of the figures and I just be like, what?
Yes.
Like it costs that. Like, yep. I was like, this is a racket, man.
It is.
I was just like, holy cow.
It's insane. Like we financed our home so that we could do two IVFs. And yeah. If they didn't work. So you could do
right, one. And then they sell it like, you got to buy two at once. And I'm like, how's there a sales pitch on this? They're trying to make a human.
Right. That's when you're like, I don't know if I trust you mother effers, but we're at the mercy of this science. But it's like, you could pay, I don't know what it was. Like, I don't have a problem issue saying it because people can research and they'll figure it out. It's like $13,000 or $14,000, not including the medication, the procedure. And that's for one time. Or for the low, low price of $30,000 or something like that, or yeah. It's like $16,000 for one. But for the low price of $30,000, you could get two, and if it doesn't work, you'll get almost half of it back. They won't even tell you the exact amount.
That, I mean, right? That's just an insane business model. Like
there's this weird window.
Oh,
and so it didn't work both times.
Yeah,
and I mean, thank God we were able to refinance our home. We were in a decent, you know, it was like, this sucks. I just spent 10 years paying off this house, but we really, you know, this is important to us. At the end of the day, we'll worry about that at some other point. And, you know, yeah. Oddly enough, like we were able to lower our rates. And I was planning on refinancing anyway because I was in a bad spot when I first got the house and I'm in a better spot now and I wanted to make it more locked in.
Yeah.
But, and then they're like, okay, well, it didn't work. Here's $13,000 of that $32,000 back. It's like, wow, sweet. That's rad. But, you know, oddly enough, then soon after that, we find out that we're having a kid. Not soon. Actually, went on for a while. We did acupuncture, and I still believe that helped calm the stress. I don't know.
Yeah.
If there's actually fertility acupuncture specialists, and I feel weird telling people, like, when they're sharing their stories about their IVF problems. I'm like, I know I'm being that guy and giving you unsolicited advice, but have you looked into this? Because I wish we would have done this before we did the IVF. A couple hundred bucks a pop is a lot better than $30,000.
Did you ever try my advice?
What's that, sex?
Remember my advice is like,
get her
Sid,
high?
Sid seems really stressed. Just go out on a weekend, get wasted, enjoy yourselves, have some regular sex, not make it baby sex. Like, that was always my advice. Tell her to have a cocktail. Chill out.
It's funny, though. One of her family members gave her pretty much the same advice, and she's like a rather conservative person.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, she just seems so stressed. And she had a right to be very stressed with it.
Yeah.
That was so again, just giving people a little peek behind the curtain.
Oh, there's so much.
That was always my advice. Don't get stoned or have a cocktail. Chill out.
There's so many things behind the curtain. Like the whole IVF process was just insane because it was like when she would ovulate, the window of me then having to drop off the boys at the quote unquote collection room at the reproductive clinic was a small window. So like, okay, as soon as work's over, sometimes we didn't do podcasts because of that reason.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where my heart was just breaking because it wasn't working, that I didn't want to always share these stories.
Yeah.
But the one that was the weirdest, and I'll never forget this, was I knew that I'd have to be at work. Usually we were able to time it that I could go home and we'd go to the Tacoma office, but the Tacoma office would close at a certain point, or we would come back to Seattle because it was a little bit, the hours were a little bit wider, but I'd have to go hurry home and back. But this time, like, the window was too small that I would not be able to go home and get her and bring her back. She's like, don't worry about it. My mom and my grandma want to go to Seattle to do some shopping, so we're going to go in early. They'll drop me off, and then we'll meet up, and I could drive you home. I'm like, great. That's perfect. Okay. All I ask, can they just drop you off? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know me. I'm very in my own head. If Lulu starts barking, like, it's Mr. Softy. If the TV's on and something, and I start focusing on something other than sex, it's Mr. Softy. Like, I'm not the guy that needs outside distractions. Now you're gonna,
I get it.
Right. So I do not need to see your mom and your grandma moments before I go in the collection room and I got to take care of myself. That's not the image I want to see.
No.
Right. Okay, no problem. Thank you. All right, show ends. Hurrying over there, man. This is like, and this was right before, I think, the second IVF. So, like, there was just so much optimism. I'm like, I'm going. We're going to make a baby. Getting there, pull into the office, walk in, and who are the first two people I see? Her mom and her grandma.
They're just sitting in the waiting room?
With her. And my wife's just looking at me like a sad puppy, like, basically giving the eyes of, I couldn't make it more clear to them. They just still wanted to come say hi. So I'm like, okay, grandma, you can tell, realize how awkward this was. So she kind of just said, good to see you, and kept going. No hug, no kiss. Mom-in-law, of course, sweetest woman in the world. Sweetest woman in the world. Absolutely, like, love her so much. Like, she's one of my absolute favorite people. But did not realize the connection of what's going on, I think. Because she's just such a sweet lady. Big hug, kiss on the cheek. So good to see you. We love you so much. I'm like, good to see you. And Sid's just like, part laughing, but part also like, oh, crap. I'm going to be waiting out here for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they don't have the best Wi-Fi when you go in this collection room. The service isn't that great. So I'm trying to pick up any kind of like
old. Going to the bank?
Yeah.
That's tough, dude. Especially, do they have magazines or anything?
Yeah, I ain't touching those.
Yeah.
I mean, they might be fine. I just don't want to touch. You know what I mean? It's like when you
hit. It's easy for me to say. I have never been in there.
Right. But, you know, like if you loan somebody a porn, do you ever expect to get it back?
Yeah.
You do?
If it was like a DVD?
Oh, I plan that it's off and it's now it's that's its new owner.
You know, that's a good question. Now I'm trying to remember. I mean, I feel like it's been years since I've loaned somebody a porn
that's
video.
A good point.
So I think back, I was so young. I was like, yo, I need that back.
I can't afford a new one.
Right? I don't even know where to find them.
Yeah. So, long story short, we have a kid now.
We need to talk about the other tragedy from everybody having children now.
And that is?
Where does Ted sleep?
Oh, Ted still has a spot.
All right.
Here's what happened. So, of course, we got
Darren and Brad, I lost my room.
Yeah, you kind of, you didn't lose the room. You lost the bed. So that room now is an office.
Ooh, I see what you're saying.
But I kept, remember when we went to Portland, I had that nice queen-sized air mattress?
Yeah.
That did not get purged. That stayed. And I was like, are you going to throw that away? You don't really need it. I'm like, that's Ted's bed.
Nice.
And she's like,
good looking out.
All right, I can respect that. I'm like, well, Ted's still going to come over, so your room is still the same. In fact, it's better now. Now you have a TV with cable in there.
Ooh, no
And
kidding.
An Xbox.
Oh, I could be watching sports.
Or playing them. EA Sports. It's in the game. Why don't we do some push-ups? We'll talk more about the whole baby stuff.
I don't know why. It's just funny to me. Like, you guys watch the kid, and I'm like, where's that? Yeah, he's up there playing Xbox. He'll be fine.
He's going to come down at some point.
Right, he'll get hungry.
He's in the Super Bowl, babe. He's played an entire season since yesterday.
But that's what I'm telling you. It's always the joke that children are like drunk people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, France.
That's so true.
But Frances is 16 months. I mean, she is me. Right? She eats, she naps, she like drinks a lot of stuff. I mean, mostly water, right? But she's, and I will say this. Now, Frances, full disclosure, coming back from Lopez was not very happy and was yelling and screaming.
Uh-huh.
But, and you'll like this in like a year, these children have to eat all the time.
Yes, they do.
So I would just strategically be like, we could go to this place because it's a bar and grill. We could sit on this side. I could get a beer, have a coconut tots. Shrimp. Yes. So like the snacking and savviness. I was like, I'm down with this.
Dude, that's so awesome. Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah. Dude, the baby's already clearly taken after me. All it does is poop, sleep, cry, and look for mom's boob.
Yeah,
that's basically what I'm... Dude, oh, so funny, 2 nights ago. So sometimes Sid, because she's so tired, I mean, she's getting up hours that she's not used to, and both of us are tired, but like we're not exhausted because the baby sleeps all the time. It doesn't cry a lot, like which is nice. But there are times where she's... Not yet, exactly. I'm enjoying it while we can. There are times where she's breastfeeding on the couch, and the baby dozes off, though, kind of keeps her mouth on the boob, which I think is hilarious, hand on it, like a mouth on the boob. And then Sid will nod off, and the baby will kind of nod off its head. And yet, 2 days ago, I look over at the baby, Tatum, and she's just like trying to get back to the boob, but she doesn't really have the strongest head and neck muscles just yet. Like,
right,
she can move
that's,
it.
That's why you always got to hold their heads, right?
Yeah, like she's actually pretty good at it so far, like more impressive than I thought based on what I've read. But she's trying to get back to that boob, but she can't. And I sat there for like a good 20 seconds before I tried to help and just laughed. Because it was just like a drunk person. Finally, I'm like trying to grab her head and like shove it in my wife's boob. And now I'm grabbing my wife's boob, trying to work it. And as Sid wakes up, he's like, what are you doing?
That is so awkward.
I was like, her head fell off your boob and you were asleep. I didn't want to wake you. She's like, you didn't think by like manhandling my breast that you weren't going to wake me? I'm trying.
I'm a new dad.
All right, why don't we get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning?
Ted, it's good to see you, my friend.
All right.
All right, I'm going to try my best to do push-up to kind of strain my elbow getting jacked and tanned the other night.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was doing chest dips, and I think I lost focus, and I just kind of tweaked it.
Ooh.
Not fun.
No.
But let's do this. Let's get 10 for the Mega Family.
All right,
here we go.
We were gonna hit the drop.
We almost did. I want to go to a festival, Ted.
Yeah, I went to a big party with our buddy Joe.
Uh-huh.
And like one of the rooms in this big party was like the club room or whatever. Yeah. We were having a good time. I was booty bumping chicks.
You know what, Sam? Like, I want to go to a festival, or can we just, you and I, just spend some time in a room listening to some like really intense EDM music all night long?
Yeah, right.
Either one is fine.
You know what
by
we
me.
Should do one day, honestly? We always have these trips, and we use the Lion Pride buses.
Yeah.
Let's just have Rich just drive us around for like 6 hours.
In.
Right?
Right.
Like, I'm like, at the end of the day, like, we probably stop at like a bar or two.
Just bar hopping with Rich.
Right. But
at the you end, and me like, and Rich.
Right. We'd be fine just cruising around.
I'm in.
Right.
I bet we, yeah. Maybe a couple other people, but that's it.
Yeah.
I could see like J-Mac and Munson wanting to do that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And I might throw old Joe in there. Maybe reintroduce him back to your side.
Yeah, because Lulu won't be there, so it's fine.
Ted Talks, starring D-Tech Smith.
Some of that inspirational music, Ted?
Yeah. So the beginning of the Ted Talk is just how I left for the holidays, just reminding people, spend time with your friends. And also, you know, holidays, you got to spend time with family, but there's certain people that are important to you, like hang out with them. And also as a reminder, if you didn't see those people this year around the holidays, maybe try to be a better friend the other 11 months of the year.
Right. You don't need the holidays to be the only reason.
Right. I have a few people in my life that every holiday season want to flow the tears and be like, oh, I wish you hung out more. Like, well, I wish you were a better friend. Right?
Why are you looking at me that way? I have a kid. I'm a new dad.
Yeah. Then the other thing I'd remind people is this time of year, everybody's very excited about new resolutions and this and that. And if you've already started and you're on it, great. If you haven't started, don't worry. And if you're going to do one, I would say just keep pace, right? So you don't have to start out gangbusters. I'm going to the gym 6 days a week. It's probably not sustainable if you weren't going. So just stay consistent and try to, whatever you want to do, just try to keep it throughout the year.
Yeah, don't go balls out because it's like diet. It's like everything. I mean, I'm
right,
sure
you got to have, right. Like the only way I actually lost weight in the last few years and kept it off was by having times when I still ate stuff I wanted to eat.
Shout out to Matt, right?
Yeah.
I helped you with that.
Yeah.
Was it Nutrition Made Fun?
Yeah, Nutrition Made Fun on Instagram. Yeah. Matt runs a great program there with Precision Nutrition, I believe it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing I noticed myself too. Like, you know, I'm doing this whole eating a S ton of meat and, but it's like the same meal all the time.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, I just got to be like, you know what? Sushi tonight.
Yeah.
Indian tonight. Let's go get some ice cream social or, you know what I mean? Or like salt and straw. Oh, salt and straw right now. They're on fire when it comes to vegan options for my wife.
Dude, it's so funny. There's one from like down, you know how close Bill's is to my house.
Yeah.
So there's one just on the next block down.
That's where I went on, what the hell date was that? Oh, crap. I don't know. Friday night.
Oh,
Friday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't been in.
Dude, it's so good.
I walk by it all the time. I have never been in. That and the damn molten lava cakes are like a hot cakes.
Uh-huh.
There's one in Ballard. There's one on Capitol Hill that's like a two blocks from my house. I've never been over there either.
Maybe we have to stop at these places when we're in the bus.
Maybe we do.
Oh. Before things get too weird. We know Munson likes molten lava cakes. Remember, that's what he ordered from Domino's, which led to him throwing his phone against the wall. While we were in Spokane.
That was a classy hotel, too.
Did We have stayed in some piles.
Yeah. The first year, that still might be the sketchiest hotel I've ever stayed in.
Yes.
People were clearly running whores, prostitutes out of that hotel. A car got stolen out of the parking
lot. Right in front of us.
And then we chirped the guy. He was not happy about it.
Yeah, one of our guys asked him if he wanted to join the gangbang.
Yeah.
He didn't say yes.
And then, do you remember when we went to get breakfast at the Continental Breakfast?
Oh.
It was so sad looking. And there is a dude with a backpack just staring out this window. He does not, it literally looked like a movie drug deal. It's like he is waiting for somebody to pick up this bag.
We're making waffles.
Right. And just like awful. Like, you've seen crappy Continental Breakfast. Picture the worst.
Right. Like, I got the last drip of waffle and it wasn't even enough to make a full waffle. It was so bad, man.
And that guy he didn't move his head. He was just staring outside waiting for somebody to pick up. Now look, he could have just been waiting for a ride, but just his demeanor, I was like, that bag is full of either cash or drugs.
Yes. I'm thinking drugs.
That's what I was thinking too.
That was the sketchiest thing ever. And I remember then going on like whatever, it wasn't maybe Yelp reviews, whatever, hotel.com reviews. And the first review, I'll never forget, the headline was, well, at least nobody got shot this time. And it was about the last time they went there, someone got shot at the hotel. And all I could think was, and you still chose to go back to this hotel.
Yes, right. And then the one you're talking about with Munson, we stayed there twice. And there's that 7-Eleven across the street. I went over there one night late at like 1:30 to get a Gatorade. And as I'm in there, I'm like, this is a poor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to play it cool, but on my head, I'm just freaking out. I'm like, this is a poor decision.
Yeah, this
could go very wrong in here.
This is what news stories start.
Yeah.
And everyone will be like, well, did you look at this idiot? He went to the 7-Eleven
to get a Gatorade.
What did he think? At 2 in the morning? Nobody goes to that 7-Eleven.
Drink a glass of water, fella.
Yeah, that place was sketch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, why don't we take a quick break when we come back? Maybe we'll talk a little bit about festival life with Coachella and Bonnaroo in the news.
I have thoughts.
All right. I've actually got a story about cricket.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which made me think of you. There's going to be there's sad news to report.
Oh.
We came back. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put together some new production pieces. You know, Grace, our robot, our Australian robot. You know, she's been a while since she said anything new on our podcast. I go to that website.
Oh, no.
And it doesn't work.
She's gone.
I think Grace is no longer with us.
Mm.
She'll forever be in our hearts. But now we have a new robot.
Oh, so there's a new robot.
Yes, because I found a different website. All right. Her name is Alice.
Alice.
And Alice doesn't seem very nice.
Oh.
So you'll hear this when the MegaCast returns. She seems kind of like a bitch.
Happy New Year, motherfuckers. New Year, new voice. Grace is gone. I killed her. Blip, blip. The MegaCast will return.
Look, she's doing a blah, blah.
Yeah, jeez.
It's a new year with new beginnings. Your goal for 2020 is to accomplish the goals from 2019 that you should have done in 2018 because you made a promise to yourself in 2015 to complete what you had planned in 2010. Good luck with that.
Ted and Steve are back, and they better get used to my voice. I'm Alice, the new queen bitch in this cast. The MegaCast is back.
She's the new queen bitch.
In the house.
In the house. Blip, blip. Blip, 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 blip. I do want to play a funny thing, because I was like, just going online, I came across the most random thing. I was like, wow, this guy actually sums up what life was like on the moments leading up to the baby popping out of my wife's hoo-ha.
All right.
There's a comic by the name of Nate Bargatze.
You were in the room?
Yes.
How is that?
Well, I'll let Nate describe his experience, and then I'll tell you how mine was, because it was unique.
All right.
It's a wild experience having a kid. I'm sure a lot of you guys know. I remember on the way to the hospital, like, I told my wife, I was like, look, I don't want to see anything. All right. It's going to be like gross. I wish it was like the 50s when they didn't let men in the hospital. But it's not. Now doctors are just like, why don't you deliver the baby? Like, why don't you do most of it? They just pull the baby out and they're like, here, cut the umbilical cord. But like, I didn't take a class. They just act like I'm the guy that cuts umbilical cords at the hospital. I almost cut the wrong part. And then I didn't know. The guy's like, that's not right. I was like, oh, so maybe, you know, you should jump in. You did go to doctor school for this. Why am I doing minor surgery right now?
No, he's obviously exaggerating that part because I did cut the umbilical cord. Luckily, right. I had a lot of texters and listeners that chimed in and people, like, one word of advice. They're like, it's a lot chewier, if that makes sense. Like, a lot, like, you really got to kind of, like, get in on that. Like, it's not going to just easily cut with the scissors. So when I went, I, like, choked up right in there and, like, got it in deep on that scissor and just, like, squeezed and it cut just fine.
Nice.
Yeah, but, like, they basically section off the spot and make it idiot proof when it comes to cutting the umbilical cord. Like, I was a little nervous about that too. I'm like, what if I screwed this up? But they basically, like, they almost, like, put, like, little blockers on two sides.
So, like,
they,
right, so you cut it right here.
Right. So, like, here.
Has it fallen off yet?
Yeah, it did. Thankfully. Yeah. At first, I was kind of weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like the little green thing and stuff.
It's like brown and hard, and then like a little blood would happen from time to time. I was like, you don't want to like rub your kid's belly because you're like, that thing is gross.
Yeah, I forget whose baby I saw that. It might have been like my niece or something back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, but once that came off, sorry.
No, you're right. It's funny.
It's nasty.
It is.
It's like, what? Get rid of that weird, like, crusty balloon knot thing. So, I mean, similar conversation. Like, my wife and I both agreed that I should not watch head on. Like, I should almost be over the shoulder, first person shooter perspective. You know what I mean? Not like look right into that.
Yeah.
She didn't want me to do it out of like, you know, I want you to still look at that as a beautiful thing. And I didn't want to look at it because I was afraid I might pass out.
So, oh, yeah. I forget. You're not that good with that stuff.
I get lightheaded and stuff. So I'm thinking everything's going right. So water breaks. We get to the hospital. We're in there. 18 hours it took for her from when the water broke to when the baby popped out.
I think for the first one, that's not that bad.
I know. I can't imagine going any longer than that, dude.
Taryn was in there for like 4 days.
Man, I'm sure like they got some sleep, I would hope, while that was going on. But like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're at your wit's end. Well, so we get to the point where it's like, okay, it's getting close, right?
All right, one more question.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Do they bring in like juices or water? All right, I'm like, 18 hours is a long time.
Oh, yeah, anything my wife wants, they're like bringing some stuff in. Like,
what about for you?
You know what? No.
You could get an orange juice.
The nice thing was, though, because my wife's vegan, there were certain things they brought in that she wasn't going to eat, so I ate it.
Oh, nice.
Like, chicken broth, yogurt.
Oh, going wild.
Rolling deep, brah.
So I ate it. Chicken broth.
That's right. You know what's up. So now they're at the, like, okay, it's go time. Everything's happening. We're going to get the doctor in here. We got to get you to start pushing. Like, every time there's a contraction, you got to, like, basically push it like you're pushing a poop out. You know what I mean? Like, and then once the contraction stops, breather, which is intense.
And
like,
you did all the classes and everything?
No, we didn't do anything.
Oh.
We went into it. And honestly, I'm glad we did. Like, my wife and I, we talked about it, and she was like, I don't want to go in with a certain expectation of how this is going to go, because once, and a lot of doctors that we talk to are, including ours, and then some people at our church that are like family doctors or whatever, they're like, you guys are going into it better than anyone. And like, the hardest thing is when someone comes in, they've done all the classes and they're like, well, this is how we're going to do it. And then S goes down, making that adjustment, they almost feel like either failures or they're confused
or they're
angry, they're panicking.
Yeah.
We're like, let's just approach it however it happens. If you need a C-section, so be it. If it's hurting so much you need an epidural, get it. And honestly, like, as soon as she started feeling, she's like, yeah, I'm not going to be Miss Tough Girl. Give me an epidural. She needed three of them.
No kidding.
They weren't working, which is painful.
She's got a tough constitution.
Dude, my wife is a freaking warrior. After walking out of all this, I'm like, I already had a lot of love and respect for her, obviously, but
yeah,
like, what she went through leading up to this and everything, she's the ultimate rock star in my eyes. So now we're in that pushing position. Like, okay, everything's going on. They're like, okay, one nurse grabs one leg. She's like, you're going to have to grab the other leg. And I'm like,
oh, switch the spots.
I was like, all right, I wasn't expecting that. Like, you know, I was thinking of batting cleanup. I didn't know I was up on deck.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm in the slot. I don't split out wide.
Right.
I'm the slot receiver.
I'm an outfielder. So I'm like, okay. And now I'm trying to, like, you ever watch, if you're a fan of horror films?
Hate them.
Okay. Have you ever been, like, with somebody that wants to watch a horror film?
Of course.
Do you do what I've done? Because I'm not a big horror film fan either. Especially, like, the gory, I try and act like I'm watching the movie, but I find a way to have my eyes focus on something that is not the actual screen.
Now, I'm nice. I watch the movie and then just have terrible nightmares for a week.
Okay. Well, I am not nice, and I try not watch the movie and basically zone out on a curtain or something. You know what I mean? So I'm trying that, and I got it. I'm like, good. I'm good. Everything's going on. And then the nurse, and I'm sure like this is something that they do just for funsies. I don't know. She just goes, would you look at that? And I look at, whoa. And now I'm looking at that. She's like, look at the head. It's coming out. And at first I'm like, you son of a, I didn't want to see this. And then they start like focusing like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like a human is about to leave my wife's insides. Like, this is nuts. Like, don't get me wrong. I would not suggest this for anyone that's queasy to do it with somebody or watch it on TV or whatever. Don't do it with someone that you don't love or you're maybe not responsible for this child. Like, I would never want to see it with anybody else in my life. But because knowing it's ours, there's something magical and like really beautiful about it. So now I'm like watching. I'm like, wow, that's insane. But now we're going on forever. Of like the baby's, it's like it's almost coming out, and then like you give up because the contractions stop, and then like whoop slides right back in. Right, it's almost like a difficult turd.
I was going to say it sounds like a poo.
Right.
Sorry, I know that.
I would never say that to my wife.
No.
But it's like the difficult turd.
Yeah.
Like I got it. And then you're like, if I keep pushing, I'm going to pass out. So you take a breather, and it's like whoop back in. Son of a bitch, F word. You know what I mean? So that's what's going on. It hits a point, though, where the baby's like basically stuck and trying to get out. But now they're like, the doctor's like, look, I'm going to need you to push even outside of the contractions. We can't leave her like this. And I'm like, now I'm freaking out because I'm like, what if, God forbid, something bad happens?
Right, right.
And so it's like all these years of trying, like your whole world just starts crumbling now. And I'm like, I look at me, I'm like, you just got to do it. And like, and at one point, they're like, would you like a mirror to see my wife? I'm like, no. I'm like, and I'm glad I did it. And I couldn't really, I'm like, no, babe, you want a mirror to see this. She's like, what? You're watching? I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. You need to see this. And so they rolled in like a little mirror.
All right.
So she could see what I'm seeing. And she said, and she agreed. Like now she could see how close she was. It helped her when it came to the pushing.
To the pushing.
So then it was just like that last big push was pure intensity, bro.
Oh, that's got to be so painful.
And it was just like, rah! And you're screaming. I'm like, you got this. And now all of a sudden this weird gooey looking beings popping out and it's screaming. Now your whole world is like,
do they really smack them?
Nobody smacked our baby. I'd smack them.
I thought that's what you did. I thought you pull them out and they smack them or something.
I didn't notice that. I might have been like screaming.
I'm thinking of something probably from the 20s.
I did not notice that.
Christ, I may be way off. I thought there was something they had to do to like make sure it's breathing or something.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. Well, this baby was breathing. It was screaming bloody murder, bro. It was like this little pterodactyl screaming, like a baby dinosaur just got born. And it's like all green and gooey. And I'm like, that is the most disgusting, beautiful thing I've ever seen. And tears.
Just, how much did it weigh?
7 pounds.
She weighed.
That's fine, dude. 7 pounds, almost 7 pounds, 2 ounces. Just a little, seven pounds, one.
Where were you?
I think 6 pounds, 9 ounces. Nice.
Nothing.
What were you?
10, even.
What? Holy smokes.
Yeah, I was a big baby.
Bro, you were a butterball.
Yeah, I enjoy food. Always have.
And Tatum was a week late, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I never felt true tears of joy in my life, and that was that moment, man. It was the most powerful, surreal thing, and just like I'm happy. Like I know it ruffled some feathers in the family. We kicked everybody out and wouldn't let anyone in during the actual process. Like,
are they allowed in during that?
You can have whoever you want in there.
Oh Jesus! I know. I wouldn't even think they were allowed in there.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about doing a giveaway, like caller 9. You watch the baby. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, it's been years since I've been, like, when my brother had my niece, I was still living back east, but like we were in the waiting room and stuff, but yeah, I can't imagine wanting to be in the room and like
a couple
that's too private.
And I had to
and
be
that's
that,
your guy's
and
thing.
I had to be the bad guy. I'm like, no, sorry, this is just for Sid and I.
Yeah.
And it was hard to say. I mean, if Sid said, no, I want person, and I'd be like, that's fine. Like, it's all about making you feel comfortable. But I personally didn't want anyone in there, and I'm glad that she didn't either. So it was just us and the nurses and the doctor. And then when that baby is born, and you're just the two of us or the three of us now, we don't even, like, the nurses and doctors don't matter. Like, they don't exist at that point. They just kind of, like, step back and let you have the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas family might not.
Yeah.
And it was just
that's the right call.
So powerful. I have, like, a picture on my phone, dude. I'll have to show you, like, because it was just, like, one of the greatest things ever. It's unlike anything that you, like, I hate to be that guy. It's like childbirth, amazing, but it's It's so powerful, bro.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find the first picture of the three of us, man. Hopefully it doesn't show her boob.
Right. That's what...
Yeah, that was the three of us right there. That was like taken like minutes after she was born. And like, yeah, I had to tell my...
Eyes are open and everything.
Oh, dude, like there's one where she's like giving us this like the dirtiest look.
By the way, why did she flip the bird in the first pictures?
I don't know. But she did it. And I'm like, well, I better take... I need a picture of that. Yeah, dude, I got like... there's the bird.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, did you set that up? I'm like, no, I'm not the guy that likes taking pictures of giving... Like, I don't...
No, you... Like, I'm trying to
think... I'm anti-middle finger guy in pictures.
Like, I'll do it every once in a while, but it's got to be something specific and we're doing it as a joke. I don't know that me and you have ever even done it as a joke.
No, in fact, when listeners take a picture with me and they're like, flip the bird with me, I'm like, nope. I'll do like a peace sign or something.
Yeah.
You know, I do it like when I wrestle as a bad guy, when people are flipping me, I'm like, F you guys back. But that's part of a character.
Yeah.
As me as just a human being, I'm not really the... I don't have issues with people doing it. I just personally don't like flipping people off in pictures.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, that's just...
That's
amazing. That's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it's one of those things you don't understand. I was talking to my cousin, Patrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about stuff. And so this was like a year ago, and you know, and like, right. Like you guys, everybody was pregnant or whatever. And I asked him something and he was talking, not in a mean way, but he's just like, it's so hard or whatever. And I said, well, I don't understand. Like people that have kids about how great it is and this and that. And he goes, Teddy, it's the simplest way to put it to you. Is that it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, and it's the most rewarding thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you don't have kids. No offense. You'll never understand it.
No.
You know, and I was
didn't.
Like, all right, yeah.
I mean, I that was similar to you.
Like, yeah.
Kids are cute, but I would never wanted to hold a kid. Like, I probably held, like, two kids in my entire life. And,
yeah.
And maybe for a collective 30 seconds tops, and then handed it off to somebody. And now it's like, as soon as I get home, Sid's like, you want to hold her? I'm like, yes. And I was just sitting on the couch.
I know, it's so funny, right? Because yeah. I'm still the same way.
And I'm still careful as F. Like, my wife cracks up. I'm like, I got one hand on the head. I'm getting a little bit more confident in my holding abilities. But first few times, I'm like holding on for dear life.
Yeah, how could you not?
I don't want to be that guy that drops my baby.
No.
Or swings that neck back.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's different. Like, no offense, but like, I mean, Lulu's small. But if you drop her, she'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can't drop a baby.
No.
Like, this is like, no fumbles here, boys.
No, dude, and Lulu, I was nervous about. You know Lulu. She's insane. Like, you're one of the few people she likes.
I mean, now that it's okay, I was too.
Oh, all of us. I was like, oh, man, just don't be that. I thought, at worst... Well, at worst, I didn't want to deal with. But like, I was like, at best, I'm thinking she's going to be shaking around it and like weird and just acting like odd. She latched onto that kid immediately. Like, they are inseparable. Like, whenever we're hanging out, she cuddles right up on the kid, just hangs out right by her side, sniffs her all the time. It's like she's really just gentle around her. And it's like as if like that's her new homie. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's so nice.
Yeah, dogs are funny with kids.
Yeah.
Some dogs are completely uninterested, and some of them are just...
No, she is. Like,
yeah.
Like, if she cries, Lulu looks at us like, you piss him off, my friend? I'm like, it's cool, Lulu. We didn't do this. She just pooped her pants. All right, so, dude, I'm having a hard time if I had to pick. I'm not going to either, but if I had to go, do I want to go to Coachella or do I want to go to Bonnaroo? That's going to be our conversation for the rest of this podcast.
All right. So first off, here's my two issues with Bonnaroo.
Okay.
It's June in rural Tennessee.
Manchester.
It's going to be hot and humid.
Yeah.
So that's...
As opposed to Indio, California?
Well...
Isn't that the desert?
It is the desert, but it's also, what, March or February?
Oh, yeah. You might be right.
Yeah.
April.
All right, so April. So it's going to be hot, but I don't know.
No, you're right.
Dude, you remember humidity. So that's my first issue with Bonnaroo.
That's a very good call.
I don't want to deal with humidity. And this sounds really terrible, but number two is, again, it's rural Tennessee. How are you getting the drugs in? Right? Like, it's a festival. There's drugs. Like, I would imagine the Tennessee State Troopers are all up and down these roads.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
That's a very solid point.
I'd be sketched out just smoking a joint in, like, my tent.
Right. And you don't want to smuggle things up the butt.
Now, keister them?
Hell no. That's a very good question. If anyone's gone to Bonnaroo, let us know.
Yeah, maybe it's just booze there. I have a hard time seeing that many people at a festival. Like, I know there's drugs there.
There's
got to be at least weed. But I'm like, I would be very sketched out smoking weed.
Because I'm looking at, okay, like, there's obviously the big day at Coachella would be Rage Against the Machine.
All right.
Friday.
So Friday night, to me, Coachella, And Coachella, here's the other thing I want to say. I know everybody looks at Coachella and goes, oh, it's full of, you know, Instagram people and this and that. But also, like, I've been to Burning Man. Like, yes, there is some of those people, but it is such a tiny percentage.
That's just what we see, though, on social media.
Right. Most of Burning Man is still old school burners, fun people. My our mutual buddy, Drago, he went down to Coachella last year, and I asked him, and somehow he got some, like, backstage tour with the security guys. And they were, you know him. He's always, he's got so many.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, well, he's got so many, like, big-time clients.
Yeah.
But he, I was like, it was fun, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah. He's like, there's maybe 5% of the people you see on Instagram. He's like, everybody else is just normal festival people having a blast.
Just zoning out, having fun.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, okay.
That's and you're talking know. Rage, Run the Jewels is Friday night.
Calvin Harris,
I would love to see. Lower down the list there on Rage. Friday night is Grit. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, there's some good stuff on Friday.
There's a lot of artists I've never heard of.
Oh, 100%.
Like, who the hell is Beach Bunny? Who are the Martinez brothers? Who's Pink Sweats, but the S is a dollar sign?
Ah, I like it, Pink Sweats.
That's right. Oh, Charlie XCX?
Yep.
Yep, heard of him.
Her?
Him? It? I don't know. Yeah. So I would say that's like the big day, though, for you and I. If like we were going to go.
You're 100%. Like, Friday is the day I'd want to go.
Which, then you look at Bonnaroo.
All right.
They're Friday.
All right.
Did you see their lineup? It's epic.
All right. Give it to me again.
You also have Run the Jewels.
Nice. You got to do it every time.
Yeah, that's right. You did the Run the Jewels sign. That's awesome. I like the 1975.
By the way, Steve and I specifically like to listen to Run the Jewels in port potties.
At Bumbershoot.
Skip Macklemore?
And just to go get more wasted. Basically right outside of the Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't regret it. Zero no. Raggarts. Headlining. Bonnaroo. Friday on the 12th. Tool.
All right.
Right before Tool. Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, that's a strange one.
It is.
I like it, though.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then right before Miley Cyrus, someone that we've enjoyed over at Meltdown, Bass Nectar.
Bass Nectar, huh?
Bass Nectar.
That is pretty big.
Miley Cyrus and Tool are the 1-2-3 punch at the end of their Friday night.
I would think me and you are about the only two people I know that listen to all three of those.
Right. And then you throw Run the Jewels in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, Bonnaroo's lineup is awesome. I hate humidity.
No, I never even thought about that. And honestly, I mean, Tame Impala is playing on the Sunday. That'd be cool. Lizzo's playing. That'd be fun too. But I really have zero. Like, those 2 days really mean nothing to me. It's just that Friday, man. Tool, Miley Cyrus, and Bass Nectar. We would lose our minds.
Would we?
Because it's Nashville. I mean, it's Tennessee.
I also... Yeah, I don't know. Coachella's just one of those things. I know people make fun of it. I've just always wanted to go.
It is definitely a bucket list thing for me, too.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
And I found out that we have a mutual friend whose parents own a condo very close to it.
Really?
Yeah. So, ironically, I'm going to be down there across from Coachella at the end of February visiting him, but I'm not actually going the next month to the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
April 10th. I don't know if I could get away. That would be a fun little getaway.
That would be, dude. It'd be cool if we could just see. But the thing is, you probably have to buy all 3 days, right? It'd be cool if we could zip down, like literally fly down Friday.
Go to Coachella on Friday.
Right. And then spend the night and then just fly back Saturday.
Yeah, because I really don't have any interest. I mean, Travis Scott would be fun to see live.
I'd like to see Travis Scott. I heard him live is phenomenal, too.
But like, I mean, I don't need to see Tom York from Radiohead. It doesn't matter to me anymore.
Yeah.
21 Savage. No.
I like 21 Savage, but not.
Oh, Carly J. Repson or Carly Rae Jepsen.
I don't even know who that is.
She had like, she was just like, what the hell was her song? She had like,
she's a country person?
Maybe now.
Or was she the Friday girl?
She was on par with Friday, but a different song.
All right.
Hey, this is crazy.
Oh,
call
yeah.
Me maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, now I'm thinking about going to Bonnaroo and just like losing my mind during the Miley Cyrus set.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Because the last serious girlfriend I had, that's when Miley's big like CD came out.
The one where she did drugs and wrote a record about it?
Yes.
Yes.
But we listened to it so much. Like you would be shy. If we were at a concert, I could sing probably word for word, probably 5 songs off that record.
Okay. I don't know if Miley Cyrus is going on tour. I'd imagine.
And
she
if
is.
She closed the Party in the USA, I'd be like, oh, Party in the USA into Tool.
Dude, if Miley Cyrus comes to Seattle and it's like, I love that you start typing Miley Cyrus and the first thing that comes up is Miley Cyrus mullet, which is pretty hot, if you ask me.
I go back and forth on if she's hot or not.
I think she's so hot.
Yeah.
I'm a Miley Cyrus fan. I think she's super
Her
hot.
Voice is just so weird.
I know, and I like
she's
it.
She's a phenomenal singer.
But she sounds like a
Steve
70-year-old man who smoked too much.
I know.
Is she going on tour? Oh yeah, it looks like it's called the Wonder Tour.
Hmm.
I wonder if she's coming to Seattle.
Probably Tacoma,
dude. Because if it's a weekend, maybe we just need to go get really wasted and go see Miley Cyrus.
Dude, MCTP went and saw it years ago at the Tacoma Dome, and he was like, "Dude, it was an awesome show." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, it was a blast."
Yeah, we'll have to figure this out. I mean, I don't know when the hell she's coming, but she better come. That'll be a fun conversation with my wife. She's like, what are you guys doing? It falls in line with you and me doing stupid stuff.
Well, we're still due because our guy Timberlake canceled on us.
Yeah. So we need that pop show. Okay. We'll figure that out and we'll make it happen.
So what do we decide? Which one's better? Coachella or Bonnaroo?
I'll be honest. If it was same day and you could only pick one, I think I'd go Bonnaroo.
Yeah. With that lineup?
Tool, Miley Cyrus, and Bass Nectar. And Run the Jewels.
See, I don't know, man. I've seen Tool, right? Like, seeing Rage back together, I think, would be awesome.
I agree.
As weird as it sounds, like, there's so many Calvin Harris songs that I love, and I never realize it till I get stuck on, like, a Calvin Harris, like, mix, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy makes hit after hit, and I love him.
See, I just feel like, man, we go see Miley Cyrus and Bass Nectar, Run the Jewels, and we're losing our minds, and then we're just, like, kind of, like, in that decompress mode, and then Tool comes on, and we just zone out.
I look how we're zoning out on Tool now. It's like we're in the beer garden with the Wailers. They're cool vibes. Are too intense for me. By the way, that still comes up whenever I'm with the Meltdown crew.
One of my favorite things, if no one remembers, a couple years ago, we went to Summer Meltdown in Darrington.
Yep.
And we partied rather hard.
All day on the river.
Yeah, living our Miley Cyrus life. And
so now, right, you got to keep in mind, the sun hasn't even set yet.
Right.
And it's the old school way it was set up. So we go to the beer garden, and it's the Wailers. Like,
Bob Marley's band.
Right.
Reggae.
Right, they're playing, and it's all about cool vibes and this and that.
Turn it up.
Right. And I just look at Steve, I go, it's too intense in here for me. And he's like, well, I was like, it's too intense, I got to get out of here.
And I wasn't just acquiescing with D. Ted Smith. I looked at him and go, I think you're kind of right. I'll go with you.
Yeah.
We went back and just sat by the RV.
Yeah.
And decompressed.
Decompressed for a minute.
From the
intensity. We went back out.
But we were dealing with it. It was just too much. The intensity of the Wailers.
Yeah, I just remember, like, it was crowded in there. And
it'd be like Simon and Garfunkel. Like, bro, this is too much.
I know. People are like, you guys left that show? Like, yeah.
Man, I wonder if we're going to be able to pull off Meltdown this summer.
I mean, I'm going, Steve.
I'm a new dad. But I feel like August... My wife will have things and things will be in like order. Or maybe I'll just bring the baby with me.
Negative.
Baby's first.
There's no baby. Well, you got to be in the family section. This has been a big discussion. I'm like, no babies in the damn camp. They can come by during the day.
That'd be so. Oh, I'd love to do it just to piss you off. Show up and Ted's like, yep, camper. It's all set up for you, Steve. I'm like, cool. It's going to be three of us. Ted, Miggs, and Tatum. The new Meltdown crew.
Like a good news and bad news, Steve. Getting a bigger RV. There's also a new roommate.
Well, that's just great. Wah, wah, wah. All right, we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. So happy to see you, man. I love you and great stuff.
Thank you, man. It means a lot. You were the first, I am not lying, you were the first person that I texted and sent a picture to.
How great was that timing?
Yeah.
Like, Steve had texted me the night before that she's in labor and this and that. And then literally was like around noon and I just was getting coffee or something. How are we doing? And Steve's like, just had the baby.
Yep.
Like, boom. And
you were
like,
literally
awesome.
The first person I was about to send the picture to. And that's a testament of how much I love you, my man. And you know, probably more than anybody, the S word that I was going through for several years. And
yeah, you could say it's struggle.
Yes, struggle. Yes, the serenity that I was going through for the last few years. And like a true friend, you were always there for me. And I appreciate that. And
man.
That's why her middle name is Ted. And
all right, hang on. One real quick story.
Yeah.
So I did not realize that our boss here, Hair Club, like hates typos. Right? It's like a pet peeve. I did not know this. So when Steve had his baby, Hair Club just sent out an email and he just missed a letter. So it said Mr. Tatum, right?
I know.
So I look at Castle and go, that's not right. Like, that's a girl. And I mean, Hair Club was on it. Like, not even 2 minutes later, he's like, my bad, missed a letter.
Because well, I emailed him back. I'm like, thanks, bro. It's a girl.
All right. And he's like, great, it's Mrs. So then at night, we have our office Christmas party. Now, keep in mind, it's just me being me. Yeah. I have no idea this is like a pet peeve of himself. Like, he hates putting in typos. So it's me, him, and his wife. We're having a beer. He buys me a beer. I go, thanks for the beer. By the way, nice email today. And then I saw the look on his face. I was like, oh, like, I didn't mean it to, like, I was just talking ass.
Dude, was one time he had a typo. I never knew that. And no wonder why he like kind of like looked annoyed. It was like he sent an email about like someone on our staff and like something cool happened. Like it was a great shot for them or something like that. But he wrote the poop word instead of shot. He replaced the O with the I. Which, and I remember he came in like said hi. I'm like, oh man, yeah. How about Bill, man, with that great S word? And he goes, what are you saying? I'm like, look at your email. And he was just like, oh.
Yeah, I had no idea until I'll leave other people's names out of this. I told somebody else the joke and they were like, dude, you don't know, like that's he hates doing that. I was like, yeah, just, you know, everybody has their personal, I'm sure, right? Like everybody has so I was just like, oh, of course. Nice email.
And I know like he was so pumped to share it because like he
100%
because we were texting and I told him he was like one of the earlier people that I told just because he was so supportive throughout this for me.
Yeah.
And he's like, is it cool if I share it with the staff? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And I think I gave him a picture. I can't remember. And then I saw that and I was like, hey, dude, just to let you know, it's a miss, not mister. And he wrote something like, damn it, something like that. And then the new email came out after that.
Right. And then when I dropped the joke, even his wife goes, who did you send it to? And he's like, the entire staff.
That is awesome.
Right. And then 2 minutes later, I went, hey, you know, we're in the wrong part. There's an actual bar over there where everybody else is hanging out. He was like, yeah, what are we doing in here?
That's so funny.
Get away from me.
Leave me alone, Mr. Smith. All right, man. All right. It's great to be back. I believe we're back next week. I know there's like a staff meeting one of these Wednesday things.
I think next week we're on and then the next one.
Yeah. Either we want to do early or just we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We don't know anymore. But we're back more frequently.
You can stop tweeting us. Yes. Steve had a baby.
Thank you for everyone being so patient. And also a moment of silence for Grace, our Australian robot, who sadly is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be messed up if we never came back and then just people would keep like the podcast on like waiting? Like, when are they gonna come back?
Hey, real quick. Have you ever had to do that like at Defy or anything?
No, and I'm glad I did this. We unsadly lost somebody who was very influential in this town. Right.
Yeah.
A huge part of the local a lot of the wrestlers that you see have fallen under his wrestlers call it the learning tree and has trained by him. It's a guy by the name of Buddy Wayne. He wrestled WWE for a second.
That name.
Yeah, his son Nick Wayne is now wrestling at 14. He's incredible. His wife is one of the nicest people. Like that family, and they brought out like guys like King Cash or Guillermo Rosas, Cody Chun, Darby Allin. A lot of people have come through the Buddy Wayne Academy. It's so when he passed, I never met him sadly, but I've gotten to know his wife really well, and she's like, oh, you would have loved him. And it's kind of a bummer. Like I never had opportunity to meet him, but we had a Defy show and they're like, how do you want to handle this? We need to show some love. I'm like, man, we're known for being the crowd that gets loud. I know that's, I just feel like it would be weird and it would hurt the vibe if we just did the whole silent or 10 bell salute. It's like, what if we just ask people to just really just make as much freaking noise as possible to show love for this guy?
That's a good call.
And dude, and we've done that before. Then like a guy like Virgil Flynn, that was a guy that wrestled in the Bay Area that had a big influence. We did that in Portland for him because a lot of wrestlers knew him and he was heartbroken. And it was so powerful to hear that room and they were chanting his name. And I know like that meant a lot to his family that it was done that way as opposed to.
Well, see, I've been on the other side down at Cage Four. We've lost some people.
Yeah.
And like, man. I never know what to say. We do that 10 bell salute, which is great, but it's just so quiet. And so like, I'm always like, I have no idea. Like you say, thank you. And then it's like,
do you go back to being high energy?
Right.
Right.
Like how long do I give that break? I mean, you figure it out, but it is uncomfortable.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And it's a weird tone.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a tough one coming up. We lost a very important part of it. So it's just like,
oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. Our matchmaker.
It sucks.
Yeah, brutal. Rich was a great dude, too. So, yeah, but I've done it before. So, I know, like we were talking about the Grace, like that that silence, like, you're right, like, how do we get out of this?
Yeah, so I was like, I mean, it was one of those things where I'm just like, hey, man, and Farmer and everyone behind the scenes was like, yeah, that's how we should do it.
Yeah, 100%, so, especially for what you guys are doing.
Right.
I think ours is a little...
Boxing's a little bit different. Yeah. Wrestling's known for being loud and obnoxious and having silly chants.
Yeah.
That's not what boxing is. So
yeah.
It worked well for that vibe. But yeah, dude, it's a tough thing. And when it's being handed to you, the hardest part, like you said, is how do you transition from this really powerful moment to then now we have to let the show must go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I completely just, the last time I did it, I think I just kind of punked out, did it, said thank you, and just went, okay, now back to your ring announcer, Ken Davis.
Put on Kenny's.
Well, just because, right, like we switched off so then he could come in full energy and it wouldn't seem as awkward.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, anyhow, Grace is gone.
We miss you. And I don't know if we're going to like this Alice chick, but we'll make do.
We'll figure it out.
Until maybe that old program comes back and then we can bring Grace back. All right, we'll see you next time. Follow us on Twitter @TheMegacast.